evening, recording if you want to open up to James 3, the third chapter, very, very powerful chapter. We've talked the first couple of chapters in James, very, very powerful about faith and tests and obeying the Word of God and how faith gets rid of discrimination, because God didn't care if you're rich or poor. He doesn't care today if you're rich or poor, if you're white or black. He doesn't care. He's looking at our souls. He's not looking at the things on the outside as we do as humans. We just never understand that. We just really need to go by His Spirit. But in James, the third chapter, it talks about the tongue is a fire. And boy, I tell you, do we know that. Those who walk with the Lord, it's a struggle many, many times, but it's not just gossip that God's talking about. Some people think, you know, just gossip. I don't gossip, so I'm okay. But stop and think of the bitterness. Think of revenge. Think of demeaning comments and disrespect. I mean, all of those things are feelings, but guess what? Those things are delivered by the tongue. Oh. And there's people just, this stuff that comes. God says the heart of man is desperately wicked. And it really is. And only the proud, they just refuse to admit their wrongness. We are so wrong and weak and stained. And we just don't understand that. Well, we don't just stay that way. I'm not discouraged. Even though things, even after 36 years of loving God and serving Him with all my heart and doing everything He's told me is the best I've understood and what I can do, still things poke up in me and I go, how can that even be in there? How can that thought, how can that anger, how can that response, that reaction, how can that vain imagination even be in here? This is a temple of the Spirit of God committed to you, full of prayer and praise. How is this stuff in here? But it is, guys. And we have to be aware of it, and we have to admit it, but we have to give it over to the Lord. There's so many families I see being destroyed by the tongue. What is being said? The angers that are delivered by the tongue, and the revenge that's being delivered by the tongue, and all this dissensions and factions and all this stuff. It's all used, and James addresses that. In chapter 3, starting right with verse 1, he says, Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. You know, what you have come out your tongue, and what you do with your actions, it's very, very powerful. So God says, don't run to that. Let Him make the call, because you are set. It doesn't mean you're higher or lower or anything like that. But God is going to hold an accountability there. Lights just came on here. Became a little brighter. Thank you, Lord. And a huge point that I want to make. So He says, don't run to be a teacher. Some people just want to get their opinion out there. I don't want anyone's opinion, including my own. What is it that you're saying, God, and what do you mean for us right now? The principles have remained the same that have come from God. The vehicles, how they're delivered. And so, I mean, there were no cars back there. I mean, God didn't address all that. He addressed principles that apply wherever you are. What might be different is some of the types of dress, but modesty is still the same no matter what's going on. You know, He talks about coarseness. It's still the same no matter what coarseness was back in the year one or what it is today. So it's like these are principles, and we need to know the principles of God, and we need to crucify our stinking flesh and let the power of God come forth and not be disappointed when it doesn't do what we think it should do, when someone doesn't change immediately, when someone doesn't repent immediately. When someone just denies God, just keep praying for them. You keep being the example. You moderate that tongue. And I love the describers that are given here in James. It really helps me as I meditate. I crucify the flesh in order to have the Spirit of God come out in this. And in verse 2, he says, "For we all stumble in many ways." So don't beat yourself with a stick. Give no excuse, but don't beat yourself with a stick. He says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says. He's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Well, I don't know anyone that's done that. We get better and better at it. Still have this little stuff that hangs around. Now, if we put bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Okay, I understand that. You put a bit, that means I can pull to the left, the horse will go to the left, I'll pull to the right, it'll go to the right. To behold the ships also. He was talking about, this is a big horse. You put a bridle and a bit in there, and you can make that huge, big horse's weigh. What, 1,000 pounds or something like that? Whatever they weigh. You know, they're big. And you can make that thing move with just a little bridle. And he talks about, he says, ships also, though they are so great, are driven by strong winds. And, you know, they're big, and the wind is blowing, and the sails are huge, but they are still directed by a very small rudder. Wherever the inclination of the pilot of the design. So what he's doing is cleaning up some things in here and saying, look, these ships are huge, and they're just this little rudder. In comparison to the size of the ship, the rudder is so much smaller, but it directs the entire ship. The horse is huge, including the rider. You put a bit in its mouth, you can make that power be directed with a small thing. So it's the same thing. It talks about power in small things. And he goes on, verse 5, and he says, so he's making a comparison. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Again, pride comes out. That tongue is used, and it says the tongue can praise God, the tongue can curse God. Excuse me, those that are listening here and there. And it says, behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. I love the word pictures. It is something we can hold on to. Did you ever go to family dinner? You know, everything's fine until one person says something really stupid and it just sets a fire right there. Argument, dissension, people very often get up and walk away. Don't talk to you for 2 years. Whoa! James is addressing that. And we need to be aware of that. That little small comment, that little thing that you just did, if it's not tied to the Spirit of God, it's going to cause an awful lot of trouble. And it says, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. Woo. Now, I know you're understanding me here. And please understand, as James is speaking, he's not talking about the organ of your tongue. He's not talking about the tongue. The tongue doesn't do anything by itself. He's talking about what you say. And what you say, and what did God address? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if there's all of these accusations, if these all of these angers, all of these things that come out, God says, that's your word picture to you. If it's coming out your mouth, it's in your heart. Oh, good. So anger is still in my heart. Yes, God says. Suspicion is still in my heart. Yes, God says. Judgment is still in my heart. Yes, God says. So it's my heart that I have to deal with. Because guess what? You can shut your mouth at that family dinner and not say a thing. But your heart is full of it. It is ready to come out. And at a time, maybe not even of your choosing, that flood from your heart is going to fly out over someone. That's why God tells us these warnings. These are things to give us hints and helps because he knows we have a broken nature. He says the tongue that is a very world of iniquity. I read that and I go, oh God. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Whoa. Talk about, underline that, folks. Put in no excuses for what I say. And some people say, I just couldn't hold myself back. I just had to say it. God's saying that we don't. He's saying, listen, I'm giving you a big fat warning here. What you think is just such a trivial little saying, you are cutting someone's heart in two. Or maybe even sharing a lie or spreading gossip. We don't just have to say it. When we understand what this thing is doing, it's helping me to be a little quieter, not have so much opinion fly out here. And that adversary knows these weaknesses. He knows. He's been dealing with this junk from the very beginning. And loves it. He loves to stir it up. Defiles the entire body. I look at that and I go, oh God. I don't want to throw away all the good things that you've done. Please help me with this. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. Yes? Verse 8, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Whoa. Are our thoughts involved with what we say? Oh, yes. What's filling your heart? Is that how? Yes. So there's a couple of areas we could work on. I go, I don't want to be discouraged by this. I see the power of what you're saying, God. I see the power of what you're saying. Husbands and wives, listen up. Children, listen up. Singles, listen up. Men and women, listen up. Everybody, listen up, male and female. God is telling us how dangerous your mouth is. What you're saying is dangerous. It sets things on fire. It's restless and no one can tame it. But I'm not discouraged because he tells me, take every thought captive. Whoa. Okay, now if I put that under the anointing, it's out of you, then I'm going to resist it. It's not going to come out my mouth. And if I go before you and I'm cleansing and I want my heart full of what? Praise and love and joy and peace that passes all understanding. I can't get that myself. Not the levels of God. So when I crucify the flesh, the only spirit that is alive in there is the Spirit of God. Whoa! Now, when that comes out my mouth, you're not only going to understand the scriptures. The prayers are going to be different. The prayers are going to be effective. The conversations are going to be different. Even if someone's starting an argument, you will not finish it. Whoa! He goes on, verse 9. So this is the crummy stuff. But look what we also do. With it, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Ooh. That's so true, God. Don't hold back anybody. Admit before God that you have a filthy mouth. And just because you don't use swear words, just because you don't curse, just because you're not coarse, we have a filthy mouth is what God is saying. Because we're born broken, we are stained, and we need to be so actively aware of this. It's going to change everyone's life if we understand this and really prayerfully seek God. Help me, God, with my mouth. Help me with what I say. And he's going to back it right up. Yep, I am. I'm going to work with you on what you're thinking and from your heart what you're feeling. Wow. Verse 10, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way, he says. And I did all that. Yes, 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 Lord. Verse 11, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. Can you see the juxtaposition here, what he's talking about? There's no mixing. There's no mixing, people. You can't have you and God. It's going to not be pure. It's going to not be God. It can't be your opinion. It can't be you flowering up. And some people do that. They're very calm. And they're very in control of their emotions. But they say the most God-awful things. Now, fiery people like me say stupid things. You know, it comes with the fire too, you know. God doesn't look at me and say, you know, you are the worst thing. But this person who calmly says the same junk is better. No. Just because you're calm when that tongue is on fire doesn't make any difference than when you kind of nutsy like me and my family and you're screaming this stuff out. So softly demeaning someone is just as bad as loudly demeaning someone. And we do this because we are so broken. We are so full of things in our hearts. We've been so hurt. We're on the defense. Someone just says good morning. We don't like how they say it. Like in that movie, We Were Soldiers. And the guy's walking by and he says, the young soldier says, good morning, you know, and the tough sergeant says, you know, you telling me how to have a morning or something like that. And then, so the next day he doesn't say that. He says, nice day. And he goes, what are you, the bleeping weatherman now? You know, I mean, just like some people, just nothing can be right. Be careful what we say. Be aware. Bring that to the forefront. I was like, hey, God, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on this, but I'm going to need some help. But I read chapter 3 again and again and again. So you can't mix it. Just because you made it pleasant, you say, well, I didn't do it with anger. No, God says, I don't want you doing this at all. What are you telling someone? I mean, and this is an old rule. But, you know, it was an old rule for my family. You know, because you have 9 kids, they're all going to be playing around and teasing. You know, you're a tease, your brother and sister. Well, we would call it playing. But my mom would always say, listen, when they tell you to stop or that it hurts, then it's not playing. Then you're hurting them. Then you're bullying them. It's not right. You're mixing that thing. And that's what God is saying. He doesn't want us to do that. When you're speaking to someone, and you can tell by their body language, they do not believe what you're saying. It's just, what are you talking about? They're hurt by it. They're backing down. They're crying. They're doing, hello, can we get a revelation? Maybe we should just shut up. It might even be what we're saying is right, but we're delivering it all wrong. It's being used against us. Let's just stop and take a deep breath. Say, God. Stop and think now. Everyone who's ever, every couple who's ever had an argument, God did not bring that about. I don't care what we said. I don't care how it started. I don't care whatever. When you're screaming and fighting and everything, I said, you did, you didn't, I did, you didn't, I did. I can't stand this. If you do that again, if you say that one more time. That's not God speaking. We have to hear ourselves go, whoa, stop. If you have to do that, say, stop. I am so sorry. What's going on here is not godly. It somehow snuck in there. Let's either start over again or let's wait till we get God's Spirit right smack in the middle of both of us. Whoa. Did you ever try and do that? The one is so open to that, the other one goes, yeah, you always pull that out. Yeah, you always say you want to pray, or you always say, let's get God in it after you get what you want to say out. We got to be really careful. We don't want to be doing any of that either. We don't want to be playing a game, one with the other. What God is talking about, he says, verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. That's what he's talking about. When you find yourself in the flurry of things, if someone is depressed, and if what you're saying and doing is depressing them and cutting them down and making them feel badly and all that, even if you don't intend to, even if what you're saying is normal but they're hearing it abnormally, you still have to stop, because that's where the wisdom is. Who among you is wise and understanding? The question is, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Even when Jesus was confronted by Satan himself, he didn't argue with him. I mean, he could have won every argument, but he never did. There's no place anywhere in the scripture where he argued back and forth. You said, I said, he said, she said. Jesus is God, and they denied him. And he didn't sit there, yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. No! He knew who he was. Everything was led by God, his Father. He never let his tongue be used against anyone unless God was saying something, when he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He knew what he was talking about. He told the money changers, get out of the temple. What are you doing? You're perverting the things of God. He called the scribes, you vipers. He wasn't using his tongue like God is talking about here. He was speaking that which was accurate and speaking by God's Spirit, and it did something. It convinced and convicted some of them, and they came to know him. And it was an example to others who did know him to stay closer to him. Wow, what a God we serve. Verse 14. But if you have, we've got to look deep within and have God do the looking, not us, because we grade ourselves so differently. We either grade ourselves terribly and so low we're never going to make it, or we grade ourselves so high because we're so full of pride. Verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. He's saying don't lie to yourself about it. Those things may be in your heart. And he says this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. This bitter jealousy and stuff, it's not God's wisdom. And he says the anger of man never brings about the righteousness of God. Ooh, that thing just keeps coming back to me lately. I go, you know, someone cuts in front of me and I go, yeah, stupid. I go, okay, you know, my feeling anger and then expressing that, even if there's no one in the car, is not going to bring about the righteousness of God. It's not. So I go, okay, Lord, help that person. That obviously was unsafe. They either were unaware or they're a very bad driver. Please help them. You know? That's so much better. Because it does a change in me. It puts it back on me. It puts it back on me. It puts it back on me. Not them. It's me and God that have to get through this. It's the same way with each and every one of you. And look, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. Well, jealousy is a big thing. That's so sneaky. Everything of the adversary is sneaky. We don't even think we're jealous. But someone else does something different than us. We're jealous. It's just like, I want what you have. Even though we don't say that, even though we deny that that's the feeling within, I want to do like you do. I want to be like you are. I want to have what you have. That's terrible. Because you stop the flow of God. You can't even see what he's doing. Know your own gifts. Give that to God and go with that. Whether it's husband or wife or children or anything. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. That is for sure. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first. Now look, if you're spouting off something, if it doesn't have this in it, shut up. These are the standards. Tattoo them on your arm. Do something to bring this to mind. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Oh, boy. Do as I say, not as I do. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Look at that. So the minute, and I have to practice this. I'll be sitting there and somebody will be saying something. I feel this dragon come up in me. I want to address that. I want to correct them. I want to say, you're wrong about me, what you just said, or you're wrong about that, or whatever. This stuff comes up. But look, is it pure what I'm thinking right now? Because I want to choke you. Well, no. So you better not open your mouth, because that, first of all, isn't pure. Is it peaceable? No. I feel dissension. There's going to be an argument. Or if an argument's already started, right then and there, big sign, big fat sign, everybody. This is not God. This is not God. Something has been mixed. He might be trying to talk to me, but because there's anger, because there's dissension, because it isn't peaceable and gentle. Oh, how many times have our conversations, I can't believe you did that again. Get back in your room. Pick up your shoes, Vanessa. I am not going to tell you again. Ooh, wait a minute now. Now, that doesn't mean you can't discipline your children. And then, so let's say you say something to one of your kids. Then your husband says, hey, you shouldn't talk to her like that. Who is to tell me what to do? You're not here half the time. I've been raising these kids for the past 25 years. All by myself. Okay, let me go right back here to verse 17. Was that peaceable? Was that gentle? Was that even reasonable? Was that full of mercy and good fruits? Unwavering, without hypocrisy? No. I grew up hearing a lot of this stuff. And God, in his wondrous mercy, has saved my family. And as time has gone on, he has just wondrously changed that. We are far from perfection. But how wonderful to have brothers and sisters who acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Savior and glorify Him in all that they do. And then we stumble, bumble on through, but we're trying. But boy, I tell you, how much better to be taught that. How much better to be brought up under that. How much better to have that rule. And if you didn't have that rule, leave it alone, because God can take you where you are. It doesn't make any difference. If He can change me, He can change anybody. This is a great God that we serve. So these are the signals. These are the signs we have to look out for. If this is in my conversation, all it is the signal from God. This cannot be me. So just back down. Just shut up. God, forgive me. I want your spirit to rule in this conversation. Now, someone else might keep on going. What is Ted called? A nagigator? You know, when you're trying to tell your husband something, the nagigator is speaking. Even if you're saying something wise and good and cool and right, and someone else isn't, right here it talks about full of mercy. Hello? Are we full of mercy as the failure might be occurring right in front of us? No, we want that thing to stop, and I tell you, you aggravate me to death. Oh. Husbands, the mantle for keeping the marriage together has been put on your shoulders. It doesn't mean that you're above anybody, but it does mean you have a weightier situation. But to the one who needs more grace, that's the one who gets it. That you have that spiritual head in your home, ladies, when you have a spiritual head, do not expect perfection out of them. It's the one they're following that's perfect. But when you have a spiritual head in your home, you are blessed, 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 blessed. And it will work out, even if the little things get dinky sometimes and they don't. Use this as the example. Use this as the anchor. Wait a minute. Is this glorifying God? Is this conversation? Is what's come out of my heart? And sometimes it's just got to come out. The errors have to be there. What's got to be done? But let there be mercy on the other side, at least if one of you is drenched by the Spirit of God and in it and all around it and through it. It's still going to have a better end result than if both are going back and forth. And oh, what a powerful, powerful message. And verse 18. And he ends up with this, and he says, and the seed, whose fruit is righteousness, is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wow. We cannot have God's peace truly without God. And he talks about the peace that surpasses all understanding. I want that in my life. I want that in your life. I want that to be in everything, whether it's business, whether it's family, whether it's neighbors, over the fence ministry, as Mark calls it. I want that for us. And just because we don't all have it, and just because we don't have it to perfection, and just because these other things poke up, doesn't mean that we are doomed. It just means we are children in school and we're trying. And we just need to have that lesson again. But with this kind of stuff, this struck me. It just flew off the page. Of it, for me, it's directions. I'm kind of like the visual person. I kind of teach visually because I learn visually, you know. You learn other ways, but that's kind of solid in me. This scripture is so word picture. This scripture gives me pictures. It shows me. And when I have things like that, it really, really helps me. I remember one time I was working for Pastor Mark in between and waiting for other jobs to open up, and I was working with him, and I was out there working with one of the his lawn crews and his landscaping group, and these guys, they were not, I knew what Mark wanted, and they weren't doing it, whatever, so I was on them all the time, you know, I gotta do this, and I gotta do that, you know. These guys, I would be so angry, and I would say, God, they make me so angry, and he goes, no, they don't. You have that anger in your heart. I go, you know, it's really true. I have a lot of unresolved issues, and I have a lot of anger in me, so I go, oh, yeah. I actually wrote a scripture that said, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, all this, I actually wrote that scripture, and I put it in the back of my truck. I had no truck at the time. And so every time I have to go to the back of my truck and open it up, that scripture was right smack there. And it helped me. I read it over and over and over again, because I would be in arguments with those guys within 5 minutes. It really, really helped me. You see, that's the investment you've got to make. This is something. This is the parameters. This is the framework. This is what God's, this is the measure you have to meet. Now, he's not out there going, you're not meeting the measure, you're not meeting the measure. No. He just gives us this guideline because we don't come with it. So when you're in the midst of a comment, if you're in the midst of a conversation and it doesn't meet these guidelines, stop what you are doing, because you can't make the other person do it. Only you. But I found it takes two to argue, just like it takes two to tango, or whatever the old saying is. You know, just like, oh my gosh. Let's listen to what God has here. just and the seed, that last one, let's read that one again. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace. The seed, that's the thing that I want in my heart. It is the seed of God. I want that to grow. I want to water that. And that's what's so powerful. So I want to cover that tonight, just as a reminder for us all, not to point fingers at myself or demean myself or anyone here, but just realize, and we've all been in prayer over this, and sometimes we do. We have arguments. We're human beings. That Adam nature is going to come up sometimes, but when it does, start fighting it. When that Adam nature comes up, recognize it as an enemy, not as your friend. And it's the only friend we've had all of our lives until you come to know the Lord. But His pure spirit is so powerful. So that tongue is a fire doesn't just mean gossip. It's all this other stuff. It will direct your life when you realize a rudder runs a ship. You're, what you're saying is running your life. Oh, I don't want to run it into the ground. God, please help us all. And He will. He is a good and a marvelous God. So let's keep that in mind, and let's go back out there and take that hill, soldiers. We can do this. God bless you.